is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're back. And next up, one of my favorite things to do, introduce you to a new show and a new member of the News for the Soul family. And right now, we're starting a new weekly show called Eyes Wide Open. And this is brought to you with a co-hosting team. Janessa and SJ, we're meeting the first half of that collaboration today. So we don't give the whole bio. We unpeel the onion one layer at a time, starting with our famous first question. But both their bios are all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. But let's get started. Janessa, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi, Nicole. It is my pleasure to be here. I'm so excited, and it's so great to launch today, of
Yay.
All days today.
111. Very apropos.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, as I mentioned, we start with our famous first question, just because it's the place that links us together as a community and movement in its 26th year as of this month. And it's that authentic search for what's really real and what's really possible. So along those lines, what got me started and what many have experienced is having experiences with things beyond the 3D norms that we're told that the world is about and the ways things function. And I'm curious what your first experience of something like that might be, and also your more profound experiences of something like that. So wherever you'd like to start us.
Great question. So for me personally, I know that a lot of people have these magnificent stories of when they were young, or these great moments of like unforgettable realization. And that's not part of my journey, actually. I would say I was not awakened until into my 30s. But the key that really made me realize how interconnected we all are is the knowing, like the clear that just you know things and you don't know how you know them, but you have that intuitive inner
Make your computer
certainty.
Easier to use. Windows will read and scan it.
And that was really where I came to grow into knowing how interconnected we were, accessing information that isn't necessarily something we can see with our own two eyes, and then just leaning into that and leveraging it and relying on it and trusting on it and stepping out in faith to act on it. And when I have, it has not led me astray.
Sorry, we had some technical stuff going off by itself in the background here. So tell us, walk us through how this happened for you.
Well, I was really rather physically sick, and I was mentally burnt out, emotionally burnt out. I was working in the criminal justice field. I was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for years. And my dad was in this crazy car accident. He's a walking, living miracle around that same time. And that was a lot of stress as well. And I was just really sick and tired of being sick and sick and tired. And I started working with an energy psychologist practitioner, a holistic healer, because I would get bronchitis all the time. And if what would be a common cold for someone else would be a couple weeks of work that I would miss and a couple trips to the doctor and probably 5 or 6 prescriptions. And while it was treating my symptoms, it was never, you know, rebuilding my immune system. It was never actually healing me at a level where I wouldn't get sick again the next time someone sneezed on me. And so it was really my pursuit of healing my physical body that led me to opening up more spiritually and developing my spiritual gifts as well and living in this holistic, you know, human experience and not just what is in front of me, what I can see with my own 2 eyes, what I can touch, what I can feel, what I know is right here.
So what gave you the belief that, you know, enough to try that? A lot of people think of, you know, non-Western medicine, the ones that are, you know, sort of just doing that, don't think that energy work or something is a real thing. What opened you up to it?
Probably, quite honestly, desperation, but also a little bit of my grandma had used biofeedback and before I even knew what that was or what that meant. And she had told me when I was young, I would never doubt your grandmother's wisdom. She had told me a couple of things. Keep a journal. You have a very interesting life. You need to write a book. And the other thing was you should be a biofeedback practitioner when you get older. And so there was a little bit of a seed planted. And then my mom had introduced me to homeopathic medicine or whatever you want to call that a couple years prior to meeting this practitioner that I worked with for several years. And the homeopathic, like, I did get some results with it, but it just didn't seem to be the right fit. The practitioner was from out of state, and she was really hard to get in with, and I needed something more consistent for me at that point in time. So I had had just enough exposure to have hope with it, and I had had so much failure with our allopathic system to have lost hope with that.
Wow. So what kind of healing did you experience when you first went?
It was a lot of things that didn't make sense to me at the time. Like, so I deal with bronchitis all the time and coughing, and you want to talk about my emotions or ancestral energy? I don't really understand. And for actually, if I'm being really honest, probably for 3 or 4 years, I really didn't understand. I just was getting results. And so I kept going. And even when I was going through more uncomfortable points in the healing or the dark night of the soul or whatever some people like to refer to it as, I just knew that inner knowingness. Like, I knew I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back to where I was. And so the only way to get to the other side was to go through it. And one of my more redeeming qualities perhaps is when I start something, I'm going to see it through. Not very often do I quit something. And so I just kept going.
Well, results say a lot too. Makes it easier to keep going.
That is very true.
So how did this change your the rest of your life as this started opening up?
Everything. It changed everything about my life. Through this healing process, I eventually, you know, built new neural pathways, if you want to call it that, but I had repressed memories of a trauma that happened to me when I was a pretty young child. And healing through that really helped me to understand how I got to where I was, why I had the struggles with the relationships that I had, why I had some of the physical illness that I had, why I had kept people at arm's length distance, why I didn't trust people. I had an eating disorder in my late teens and early 20s for years, a really unhealthy relationship with food and my body. And, you know, it was all of this turmoil from the situation that happened when I was really young, and I couldn't even remember it, to know that all these years I was living through coping with something so unpleasant. And that was a really pivotal point, even though at the time, I don't think I realized how pivotal it was really truly going to be going forward in life, because when you recover repressed memories like that, if you don't have the right tools available to you, where I was left was, you know, I was a 30-some-year-old woman, and I was responding like an 8-year-old child, that 8-year-old child who had been hurt. And that is such an awkward existence to live, of having the mental capacity of, you know, a grown woman and a career, and then emotionally be at this very childlike state and the tears and the pain that came from that. But through that healing, the relationships that I've been able to build and where I'm currently at in life and the situation that myself and my husband are walking through, and the outpouring of love and support, it just honestly nearly brings me to tears talking about it right now, but it leaves me in awe, because it is such the evidence of all of the work that I have done in my personal growth throughout the years to have such solid relationships and pure love with people, that we just, you know, support one another, whatever life brings, and there isn't judgment and there isn't expectation, and it's so pure and it's so beautiful. And I do not know how I would be walking through the fire, essentially being fireproof in these circumstances right now, without the love and support that I have from these people. And so the healing, I mean, to try to put it into words, I don't feel like there are truly words to express how much that has, you know, dramatically shifted my life and created this life that I love and this reality that I really truly want to be in, because for the first 30 years of my life, pretty much just getting by and doing the best I could. And now it's a completely different reality for me and a completely different story I'm living, and it's so beautiful.
So you mentioned that you didn't know how pivotal it was going to be. Can you elaborate how pivotal it was as you went along?
Sure, a little bit. I mean, so right now, my husband actually today had to report to prison for a very strange case. I've worked in the criminal justice system for 2 decades. And the case is very, very bizarre. The evidence is bizarre. Everything is very bizarre. And it has been the most stressful situation, especially for the duration of time that it's lasted, that I have ever experienced in my entire life. And the way that the, you know, system is set up, the criminal justice system is set up and devised, and the way that the investigation went and the amounts that we were blindsided left and right with, first of all, the investigation and FBI showing up at our house, and I blew the cover of the agent, and then I was traumatized. The security of my home had been violated and taken from me. And then getting the charges, that was traumatizing, and realizing there was only 3 days to hire an attorney, and that was traumatizing. And just going through this whole process, it was trauma after trauma after trauma, having bank accounts taken, retirement accounts taken, and it was a non-financial crime. And just at every step of that way, there was something else, you know, traumatizing. And I don't want to overuse the word traumatizing, but literally I don't know how to explain something of this magnitude without using that word. And it was repeated over and over and over. And so having the tools to be able to traverse that type of situation and not crawl into a hole of shame and not crawl into hiding, and to be able to function, to still work, to still serve people, even if this had happened a couple years earlier, I don't know that I would have had the tools or been well equipped enough to be able to walk through this situation with the grace that I have. And granted, a lot of that's a testament to the team of people I've built around me as well. Like, I am not doing this alone, and I definitely pay homage and credit to those beautiful people as well. But to go through something so stressful and to reflect on the fact that, you know, 12, 15 years ago, I couldn't traverse bronchitis without getting wiped out, let alone something that has shifted my family, my whole life. And to be walking through that and to feel grounded and centered and in my power, that opportunity is going to come from this, and I want to use it to do good, and I want to share awareness with people so it doesn't happen to others, that I can make to how pivotal that one call and that one day of choosing a different path, a different lifestyle has been.
Wow. Well, that's about as real as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it feels very divinely guided by something to prepare you.
Understatement. I have reflected on, you know, my professional experiences of specific probationers I have supervised, no-knock search warrant I served, working to instill due process proceedings when I was in drug court, which is due process is giving defendants rights that they are entitled to. Every piece of my puzzle, and then going on to become so trauma-informed and work so extensively and in-depth with trauma, every single step of my path feels like it was one little puzzle piece getting collected here and there along the way, and it all is coming together for whatever greater purpose that is going to eventually come from this. I can't quite see the whole picture yet, but every single one of those experiences has served a piece, whether it was knowledge or, you know, experience of understanding how certain systems operate or certain procedures work. And here I am today leaning into every single one of those experiences to use it for the betterment of what will hopefully be society. In going forward with our story and our experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as we speak now, the planet is in a kind of a strange new place. The last 3 years have been bizarre another understatement. How do you think that all kind of coincides? Like, what is your take on why this stuff is happening?
Well, small scale, I think that it's time for balance. Like, nature is created and designed to remain in balance, and we as humans are part of nature, whether we want to, you know, accept that or deny that, but it's true. And so I feel like on the small scale, it's a move toward having greater balance in society and evening the scales in some ways. On a deeper scale, I feel as though things that have become, I really don't love the word corrupt, but I don't have a better word for it, that has become corrupt or unjust in our systems, because there is a lot of injustice in our systems, and it's not just in the criminal justice system. I feel like that is coming to light. I feel as though the truth of that is becoming more common, and people are more intrigued versus labeling it as conspiracy theory and being more open to, well, is that really going on around me? Can I look for evidence of that? Do I actually see it versus just dismissing it and living behind that veil? And so when our situation was playing out earlier, in 2022, we had an awful lot of fear about speaking for many different reasons, including one of the conditions in the plea agreement required my husband to never deny guilt. And so we felt like we couldn't truly share our story and all the details because someone may interpret that as guilt. And we obviously didn't want him facing the more extreme sentence. And so we sat very still and very quiet through the whole situation, but at that time, you know, we wouldn't have even been comfortable, or I should speak for myself, I would not have been comfortable speaking out. And even what has come to be and the shifts that have been happening in society in the last 6 months feel like there's so much more information readily available for those who want it about what truly is going on within, and it's not just the U.S., you know, the world and within the governments and within our systems. And I think that the bigger being at play here is just bringing truth to light. And for people to be able to stand for their values and their integrity and their dignity and how they want people to be treated, how they want to be treated, and balance those scales that are very imbalanced within our societies.
So do you feel it's possible to achieve that?
Well, I think anything's possible. Call me an optimist. I do. I think that anything is possible. I think it's going to take some work to get there. And I don't think that it is a week away or a month away either, if we're being realistic about, you know, other shifts in history and the time frame that those things take. They don't happen like a flipping a light switch. But I do think that it is possible. And I think that there is more people wanting and desiring to have equality and love and peace and harmony and thrive in the world versus feeling like they're getting squashed and, you know, traumatized and the phobias and, you know, the pandemic and everything that we have been living through, like you had referenced as strange or whichever word you used earlier. It's been, you know, a long, long road for a lot of people, especially in the recent past. And that lights a fire for people that they want that peace and they want something different. And when you get enough people that are desiring something, then yes, it is for sure possible because the people will unite. And it's just that that's one of the big things on my heart is to come step away from the division that's been happening, you know, the physical distancing of people, the division that's being driven by healthcare decisions when prior to the pandemic, people didn't even, I mean, there was HIPAA and we didn't talk about our healthcare decisions, but it's just been one thing after another to drive that division. And when people get to a place where they're tired of it, they're going to unite and stop being divided. And I think that that's what we're seeing begin to happen.
Mm. Well, you know, we've talked about this awakening on the planet since, well, 25 years ago. And I think along the way, we thought we would all just kind of wake up and everything would be great. but this recent years, well, it was like wasn't like it went dark, you know, the darkness was always there, but the veil was thinning and people could see, and conspiracy theorists of yesterday or critical thinkers of today now, you know, it seemed more like that. But it, you know, it put the most well-versed, you know, person in doing conscious work for decades could be, you know, just as challenged as someone who's, you know, not aware of all that stuff. So I'm wondering how are you showing up to help people through this kind of challenge and trauma?
Healing and teaching. I think that we are all self-healers. And through my journey, that's a huge piece that I have learned is the ability to self-heal. Although we can't get to everything, we have blind spots, so it's important to have a team around us. But I've always wanted to empower the people I worked with. So I've always wanted them to teach the tools that I have and to know the things that they can use to regulate their own nervous system, to build in their own new neural pathways, to have the new thoughts and the new beliefs that's going to help them move forward in the direction that they want to go, to be able to, you know, remove the veil, if you will, and see reality. You know, for listeners who may have not heard that term before, what I mean by that is you probably have encountered or known someone who there's abuse in the home, but they don't see it. And we might brush that off as though they're in denial, but literally they can't see what is right in front of them. And so these tools that we have for self-healing allows us to strip away those defenses and to see reality and to see truth. And my role thus far has been helping people heal, giving them the tools to regulate their nervous system so they don't have to stay in that place where they're in fight or flight. In fact, today I just saw someone had commented about, when is my nervous system going to learn that it's for, you know, like a bear chasing me in the woods and not just responding to an email. And our lifestyle has grown to that place where we're constantly in the state of fight or flight. We have too much going on. Our nervous system never switches over and chills out. And that's not the state where we thrive. And that's not how we are designed to live as humans. And so as many people as I can touch to be able to heal past wounds that are keeping them stuck where they don't want to be, or feeling emotional pain that they don't want to feel, and help them move forward and have the tools to continue moving forward through whatever life brings them, even like this. I never wish my situation on anyone else, but it is amazing to sit here and say I've had the tools to traverse such a dramatic, shocking, horrifying situation. And that's what I want for people. And I feel like that's a huge part of my purpose and a huge part of my plan here.
What kind of tools in particular?
Well, a huge thing that I teach is the tapping, which for those who are on the website, it's in my profile. Search my profile and you'll find it. I think it's under the 11 things. But the tapping, the natural bio-distressing tapping, mouthful, is something that I encourage people to use every day, like they brush their teeth. It's their energy hygiene. And it alleviates the buildup of energy in our nervous system so it doesn't stagnate. And it allows us to get rid of anger or anxiety or fear, whatever it is that we're feeling. And that's just one of many tools. You know, there's, especially when you bring SJ into the mix and you mix all of our modalities together, there's crystals if that's your thing. There's breathing exercises if that's your thing. There's so many different ways. I love the saying, there's more than one way up the mountain, and finding the tools that work best for each individual is really key, because there are so many different ways to calm and self-soothe and self-heal.
Is the tapping you mentioned, is that EFT or is that something different?
Part of it is EFT. The natural bio-distressing is a couple different tapping techniques put together so that you have the meridian points being tapped, which helps move the emotions. But then there's a sequence of eye movement and tapping that helps reprogram the brain, which assists with clearing out traumas and phobias. And it's great with food cravings and limiting beliefs and allergies and trauma. I mean, there's so much that you can do with that. But it's a little bit different than EFT because there's another component to it.
There we go. My button got stuck. Okay, so, you know, like, let's put this into, you know, terms of what people are dealing with these days. You know, there's a lot of self-medicating going on, people just literally trying to tune out all that fight or flight anxiety you're talking about, especially after, you know, the whole planet was on house arrest for a while and all the separation, and then people splitting into camps and families not talking to each other anymore because one's in the vaccine party and one's in the, you know, non-vaccine party, and all this stuff, like serious angst and anxiety, suicides are up. I mean, just everything you can think of, right? Everything kind of being unhinged. So what is your approach to some of those, you know, very real phenomena going on the planet today?
If I'm working one-on-one with someone, it's a little bit different than in the group coaching. If I'm working one-on-one with someone, I'm really getting into what is the root of the issue for that individual, because while these situations around us seem like they're so impactful that we're just dealing with current day life, that's rarely the case. Oftentimes, the filter through which someone is seeing that situation is connected to something that happened in their childhood or earlier in their life. And so just giving them, you know, the tapping video and letting them tap, that's going to help, but it might not rip out the root right away, although they can probably get there eventually on their own if they stay at it. So if I'm working individually with a one-on-one individual, we're just going to follow the energy and the trail down to the very tip of that root, and we're going to pull that whole, like what would be thread of energy or the plant out by the root rather than snapping off a leaf or snapping it off at the ground. So that is, for me, the most powerful, potent way to self-heal is digging in real deep into how did we get here in the first place? And I don't mean from exterior point of view. I mean from interior point of view. What has the person been through? In group coaching, I take a little bit different approach where we coach by topic. And then we still get down into those roots by the topic because oftentimes there's so many commonalities between the things that we do experience. And then we're shifting the energy, the nervous system, the neural pathways right there in that group coaching call for people. And it's very simple with the group coaching, like they show up and breathe and I'm running what are integrations through their energy system from what might be mind-blowing to a lot of people from afar, but we're all one and energy is everywhere, so you don't have to be right there touching the individual to do anything. And so those are the two main ways that I'm working with addressing what people are challenged with today.
So tell us some of the more impactful feedback results you've had with some people that you've worked with.
Well, addiction is one of my personal favorites. Having had an eating disorder and recovering from an addiction, that's very near and dear to my heart. And then even throughout my criminal justice career, I supervised a lot of addiction clients and then worked in drug court as well. So addiction, I have a young 20-something year old woman that I worked with, and she had been raised by parents who had used, you know, both of them extensively, were still using, her sister used, and she wanted her sobriety. And at her young age, she started working with me and got sober within about 6 months. Of course, the sobriety wasn't the first thing. We had to work through some other themes with her so she could live on her own, because it's really hard to get sober when you're in a home where drugs are being used on a very regular basis. And so we addressed what were her priorities first to get her into an environment that would set her up for success. And she obtained her sobriety. She relapsed a couple times, and then she was able to maintain her sobriety. She's increased her income working as a waitress during a pandemic, which is unheard of because food service and who's eating out and all of that. But she increased her income. She got a new car. She's living on her own. She's starting her own business. Like, this girl is on fire, and I am so pumped and so excited for her. And, of course, want to share that with anyone else who's at that place in their life where they're ready to fully commit to themselves. But that's been one of the most powerful outcomes that I have seen with someone's success. It brings me goosebumps. And then there was another woman I worked with who had smoked for, it was over 40 years, probably close to 45 years. She was smoking 2 packs a day when we started working together. And she is now cigarette-free after all these years and trying to quit so many times. And so also very, very excited for her. How liberating, how empowering to get your health back in so many ways just simply by being able to kick a habit. Amazing.
Mm. You mentioned about, the money thing. That comes up a lot these days, again, for people ever since the – you know, a lot of people lost their jobs or the income it went way down ever since the COVID stuff started and with the inflation that's been happening in many countries since, what is your approach to getting someone out of lack?
Mindset is everything. And of course, energy plays into mindset. But if we think that we are at the effect of the economy, then we are going to be at the effect of the economy. If we think that we are at the effect of the pandemic, we're going to be at the effect of the pandemic. And I also firmly believe that people's belief system has to set them up for success. So they have to believe in their own success. They have to believe in their own ability to be at cause. And even if someone lost their job during the time, perhaps that's an opportunity because now they're making more money or doing something they love, or it's a better rhythm or flow for their family. And so my biggest thing, but it is not solely the only thing, because there's a lot of unconscious work that goes into creating the mindset that's going to set you up for financial success. But mindset is always the first place that I go when it comes to the money and energetics of money, to have the right belief system in place to be able to grow and thrive. I mean, every time there's a recession or a financial drawback, there are always the people in the businesses that blow up. There's businesses that blew up in the pandemic. I know a couple of them, and they're thriving beyond measure at this point. And so why not me, right? Why not me be able to be recession-proof? Why not me have that success instead of the mindset that it'll never happen to me? I have to live in fear of everything that's going on around me, and I am solely at effect of the world around me and the economy and, you know, all of life's circumstances. There are these universal laws and principles, and when we put ourselves in a place of being at cause and we're, you know, taking radical ownership of our life in that regard, and we build this belief system in, the universe will deliver, or God will deliver, or whatever the belief system is. We attract, you know, like if our brains are like radio and the signals are going out, we attract and bring in what our signals are sending out. And so we have to build that foundation within our mind so that we can live by that and create that. And that's exactly what I did in my healing as well, when I talked about where my relationships were prior to the, you know, inner healing journey that I went on and what my relationships are now. When I started, my foundation of belief was not that I had these amazing people who were there for me no matter what and loved me through crisis and trial and imperfection. I didn't believe that before. But as I got my poop in a group, as I like to say, my belief system and inner knowingness changed. And with that, then I created that around me. And so any topic, whether it's money or relationships or career, whatever it is that's important and vital to the person, we have to have the belief system and the thoughts and the unconscious programming aligned with what it is that we want to have.
Yeah, it always comes back to beliefs and thoughts as the foundation, doesn't it? I think that's why the last few years really threw a lot of people off, because if we were manifesting our reality, you know, all of a sudden we've manifested this poop that wasn't in a group, shall we say. And, you know, I think a lot of us went, ugh, what does this mean? And a lot of that knowledge and faith and belief that we, you know, were choosing our reality kind of faltered and went through a testing phase, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people may have tried to will their way through with their thoughts versus truly believing.
Yes.
In the foundation, like I just described. And there's a big difference between that, because if you're not aligned, you know, like we're not just a thinking mind. We think our thinking mind runs the show, and it runs very little of the show, like 5 to 10%. when we just think the thought and we're going to will our way to have what we want, unfortunately, we're going to be disappointed an awful lot, especially if what our unconscious mind is telling us is that we can't rely on ourselves and we're never going to be successful. And yep. So it's more than just thinking the thought.
What tools do you have specifically for removing unsupportive unconscious beliefs?
I have a lot of tools, and a lot of them are honestly spiritual as well. There's a lot of unconscious work that we can do, but there's also a lot of, you know, spiritual energy that influences us. Going back to that, you know, antenna, the signals that we're picking up from around us as well is not just like physical objects in front of us. There's all this energy around us. And during those, you know, extreme times of trauma when we're kids, the things that we just kind of pack up and put away and might not pull out, darkness, Satan, I mean, there's all different labels that people put on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that energy will infiltrate our minds and make us believe mistruths about ourselves. And so it's not just as simple as the unconscious mind. And I also don't want to make it so complex that people can't understand it. But we're multifaceted beings. We're spiritual beings. We're mental beings. We're emotional beings. And we're spiritual beings. Like, you have to work with all parts of the person to truly align them, to get them to move forward. And so the tools that I have focus on exactly that, working with all parts of the being. With my criminal justice background, and when I worked in the prison, I was the first female team lead for the state for our emergency response team. And part of what was drilled in this paramilitary program time and time and time again was leave no person behind. Leave no person behind. You were a team, and you were truly only in your full capacity if you were all together doing your task. Our being is the same way. So I like to adopt that saying into focusing on mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Leave no part behind. We have to have all of us on board moving in the same direction to truly be in our full capacity. And once we are aligned, we're going to do amazing things, and simply starts with believing in ourselves, committing to ourselves, investing in ourselves, learning some new tools, perhaps. And it's really not complicated. It's just different than what mainstream lifestyles include, which is silly. For me, I really want functional medicine to be part of high school curriculum. Like, why do we not know how our bodies work? But it's not part of what we teach. Why do we not know how to read our blood labs and know which vitamins support the different panel or markers? We aren't taught those things. We're not even taught how to learn in school. Like, we go to school and we're expected to memorize things, and the kids who aren't able to easily memorize things are at a disadvantage, but we're never taught how to learn. And there is so much magic that happens when we know how to work with our brain, when we know how our brain default programs to be lack and to create a gap and to feel like we're never there, which makes it harder to attain the things that we want to have. And when we educate ourselves on the way the brain works and how we can work with our brain, we have so much power as a human being. It's beautiful and it's amazing. But it's nothing that's taught within our mainstream cultures. And that's bad.
Yep. That was one of my first jaw-dropping realizations in my journey, was just why have I never learned this? Why is that not being taught? You know, it's crazy. I used to pull my kids out of school all the time and take them to meet Wayne Dyer and travel, you know, to even learning remote viewing with David Morehouse. Like, he's very big on the physics of the metaphysics, and you know, he's not a very woo-woo guy, but it really helped connects those places in a way that you can understand and, you know, accept, right, and believe that this is really legitimate. I just wanted to touch on one thing you mentioned before we go to the next section here, which is talking about future shows, but you mentioned, you know, working in the prison system. Ugh, I mean, that's the heaviest, most darkest energy. How did you traverse that and keep growing your energy?
I quit. true story, I did quit, but it's where I got started, honestly. So I was really eager, and I just had this insatiable desire to keep excelling. And that's something, if you talk to anyone who knows me or my parents, like, I've always had that inner fire in me to want to do more, know more, be more. And so I just applied that regardless of the environment, regardless of what was going on around me, and just truly wanting to excel and be the best that I could be at what I was doing at the time. And at that time, it was, you know, getting some experience within the prison. And that was an education, having grown up on, you know, a rural farm with not much cultural exposure and not much crime, like hardly any. It was a very, very needed education for where my career was headed. And there was a lot of value in that. And I do think that it's important, regardless of how dark or heavy a place is, there still has to be light from within. And that was some of what I told many of my colleagues when I just recently left the Department of Homeland Security, was that I'm so glad that they're still there doing the work from the inside. Like, it's no longer my place or my approach. But we do need to have those people within those systems that are not optimal, doing the best that they can with what's available to them to improve it, to treat people with dignity, with respect, with love, with kindness. And we can't, if we all just walked away from all of them, I think it would be an even more imbalanced existence that we live in.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I can relate to, you know, in my early years of awakening, it was really easy to see the light because I was in all darkness prior to that. So it was really just easy to see this one little light of something to follow. So, you know, a lot of us end up here because of being in a very opposite environment. And it's quite common, actually, to be birthed out of trauma and necessitate our survival in a better way. So it's good motivation. Interesting. So, okay, let's talk about future shows. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that you're the first half of the collaboration of two of you. So tell us who SJ is and how you came to be collaborating with her.
Awesome. I don't want to get too deep into the story. I don't have any spoiler alerts before, you know, future shows. But short story is, we met at a job. We shared a job. And so I met her there. And and there's a whole story to this, but it took us quite a while to actually acknowledge one another. And the universe kept having our paths cross time and time again, like, hello, dummies, when are you going to wake up and see one another? And so when we did, our modalities were so opposite, because I'm working so much with the mind and she's working so much with the energy body. And so we exchanged services to experience this whole different world, you know, like, we're opening each other up to this entirely different way of working with energy and getting to the same result. And from there, magic has been birthed time and again. And I got literally, as I was writing and working on my blog and some things recently, I tried to write about her and I don't have words. Like, she's had such a deep impact in my life, and the connection that we have is so special and sacred. I don't have words for it. But I'm so excited for people to come back next week to get to meet her and to hear us together in the future. It's very special.
Yes, so we'll get the nitty-gritty of how that came about next week. Details to come.
Yes.
Excited also. So let's talk about what you perceive doing on future shows.
Well, we plan to talk about all of the things that are unseen and seen in the world around us. So that leaves a whole lot of topics to talk about and a whole lot of ground to cover. And, of course, we welcome people who are interested in hearing about certain topics. We've already had some people request different things, such as aliens, to talk Ooh. About aliens and our relationships, our hardships, how we met our partners. We do focus on relationship coaching and that beginning with the relationship that we have with ourselves and how that then ripples out into the relationships around us. And so we've had questions about that with our personal relationships. So we'll be getting into that and sharing as well. And then also unpacking what's happening in the world around us that literally in our communities and right in front of us. And oftentimes we're not seeing it and or we're seeing it and not knowing what to do about it. And so talking about some of the injustice topics as well and sharing my personal story of having gone from supervising felons to marrying one and knowing that I am exactly where I am meant to be, being so confident and firm and proud. I'm so proud of this man I just dropped off at prison and hearing all of that story too, because that's probably not the most common thing you would hear from someone who, you know, is in the justice system. And you know, also sharing a lot of my experiences being on both sides of the justice system now as well. So lots of things to talk about in the future.
Great title for a book, by the way. Went from supervising felons to marrying one. Here's my story. Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We're already at the top of the hour. That just zipped by. So here's what we do in the last couple of minutes. Every show is coming from a place of open heart and service, shameless self-promotion. What would you like to shamelessly promote today?
Yeah, let's talk about laser sessions. And these laser sessions were something I actually randomly had kind of fallen into last year when the FBI showed up at my home, and I was so happy to have these that I'm now launching them to offer in February, which was the month all of this started for me last year. But 15-minute sessions every week to give people that boost, the mental boost, aligning their being, helping build that belief system for the things that they're trying to achieve in their life. Having that session every week, I mean, everyone has a 15-minute break or their baby sleeps for 15 minutes for a nap. So there's not really an excuse, as time to be able to make it work. And so a six-month package of those 15-minute laser sessions, and if people are interested in that, they can reach out to me via email, and we'll get them set up on it. And that is at fiercelyradiantsoul@yahoo.com.
Great. And we've got Janessa and SJ all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We're going to meet SJ and hear their story together next week. It's been so great talking to you today, Janessa. And again, welcome to the News for the Soul family.
Thank you so, so much.
And we'll see you next week.
Indeed.
All right. All linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We have to take a quick break, and we're back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.